Amen. Praise the Lord for the specials tonight. What a blessing it's already been just being in this place. It's always a blessing to me to see families singing together. And I'm just thinking about Olivia there, how she's been raised in the church. And now she's got a beautiful voice. I mean, really maturing very well. And she can out-sing her dad now. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing to hear that. But just seeing the young people being raised through the church to want to have a desire to serve the Lord and sing for Him. What a blessing. Book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22. Coming to the end of our series on the book of Revelation, and we started actually with the book of Genesis, and we went all the way through the Bible and teaching one message out of each book of the Bible. Aaron told me this last week that he researched that to find out when we started it. Was it 2010? 2000, something like that. So we've been in it for a long time. And of course, teaching one message in each book of the Bible and all the things going through there. And then we've been in the book of Revelation now for some time as well. And we're coming to the end of it. God has revealed everything to us in the book of Revelation. I mean, past, and then chapters 2 and 3, the church age. And then chapter 4 begins with the rapture of the church, and then on through all the tribulation and through the millennial reign and through the final judgments, and then it revealed heaven to us. Chapters 21 to chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, is revealing heaven. And so God revealed everything that we have need to know about past, present, and future. And the last words, the last verses in chapter 22, actually verse 8 all the way down to verse 21, the last of the words of God to man. There's no new revelation from God outside of that. This was completed by the end of the apostolic age. By the end of the apostolic age, the church had the full revelation, the Word of God printed, written down, preserved by God. For some 2,000 years, the church has had the full revelation of God. There are no new revelations. God's revealed everything that He's going to reveal to us until Christ returns. Amen? And, of course, in heaven, we're going to see and we're going to learn a lot of things. We're going to make all things will be made clear to the church at the judgment seat of Christ. Every knee and every knee will bow before God at the great white throne judgment, and they will see things exactly as they are and realize how deceived they have been, and then there will be that final judgment. Then eternity, what a blessing that's going to be. So we've studied all of those things, and now we're getting into the last words of God to man. The last words is what will God end His word, His full revelation with? What kind of message would we look to as God's final words? And that's what we're looking at here in verses 8 through 21. Last week, we studied verses 8 and 9, basically. And we saw how John, once he had all the full revelation of God, he just fell down to worship Him. And that's what learning about God will do to a person. If you truly learn about God and you know who He is and you understand everything about the past, present, and the future, you can't help but to just fall on your face and worship God. And praise the Lord for that, because that's what we find that John did, and the angel told him, you worship God. He just fell down, and it was before the angel, and the angel told him to worship God. And so that's what we studied last week. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 16. Verses 10 through 16. So if you stand with me, we'll read these verses. The last words of God to man. Verse 10. And He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this another opportunity and a privilege it is to assemble ourselves together and to worship you and to sit at the foot of the cross and receive the spiritual insight and truths from your word. I just pray tonight that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. Speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. No new revelations. Praise God for that which He has revealed to us, the full revelations of God to man. And so He's given us everything leading up to these final verses, and then He's closing out the book of the Bible, the love letter from God to man, by giving us some of these final thoughts. One of those final thoughts is found in verse 10. When after John now falls down to worship God, and I believe that's when you fully understand who God is and you grasp the revelations of God, then you'll want to worship Him. You'll fall down to worship Him. And now we find that John here, the Bible says in verse 10, and he saith unto me, the angel now is telling John, giving some final words of God to man, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Seal not the prophecies of this book, because the time is at hand. To understand that fully, I think we have to go back to the book of Daniel. And again, you know, the Bible interprets Bible. And so to have a good understanding of the book of Revelation, you have to have a good understanding of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the last days, as well as the teachings of Christ. And we've been going through that. And Daniel, if you look back there with me to Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter in the book of Daniel. Daniel has much insight into the prophecies of the book of Revelation. I mean, he prophesied the end days. He prophesied a lot of the things that would take place. And then, of course, as Jesus revealed them, he would take them back to the Old Testament prophets. He would quote a lot of the Old Testament prophets. And then you look in the book of Revelation, and you see what the old prophets of the Old Testament, what they prophesied being fulfilled, coming true. And we find that God revealed that to us. We've studied much of that, which has already happened. In Daniel chapter 12, though, in verse 1, the Bible says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And so he is referring to the Lamb's Book of Life. He's referring to those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, he says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Talking about the rapture. Some in everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, which are those that are looking to be a witness and looking to lead people to Christ, pointing people to Jesus Christ, looking to see the lost saved. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So in heaven, there's going to be something there with the rewards that God has for those that have faithfully served Him. And it will be something to do with the brightness, and it will be forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, look at verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book. What I'm revealing to you now is not for your dispensation of time, Daniel. But later on, they're going to look back and they're going to read what you wrote and they're going to see how that it is for the church age. And they're going to have a better understanding of what you prophesied, more so than what even you understand, Daniel. And so he says, "And thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So Daniel is told, this is for a different time. Seal the book, or you don't have to preach this, Daniel. Don't preach this because it's not going to make a lot of sense to your dispensation of time, to those around you, because this is prophecy. But when the day and time is at hand and they read the revelations of God, then they can go back into the prophets and see that it was prophesied that it would come to pass. I love that. And that's what the angel is telling John now. He said, now it's the time. Don't seal the book. Preach the book. Don't seal what you have been revealed to you in the final revelations of God. Don't keep that from humanity because the time's at hand. And it's the time of the churches. The churches were to receive the full revelation of God. And the churches, as they received the full revelation of God, were to and are to preach it. Now, if we look back to Daniel there, let's continue because there's more here. He says, "Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Man's always wondered, well, when is the end of days? When is the world going to end? "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand and unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Whoa. "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end? What shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Amen. What a blessing to read that as is prophesied back in Daniel's time. And the angel said, shut it up. You're prophesying, but this is for a different dispensation. And I've got a purpose for giving it to you to prophesy, and yet I'll be revealing it to a different people. And then we're looking into the book of Revelation as the final words of God to man. And he reveals to Daniel, don't seal it. What he's saying is, give it to the churches so it can be preached. For this entire church age, we are to be preaching the full revelation of God. Wow. It's time for us to preach the full revelations, understanding there are no new revelations, but that which is found in the Word of God. So just looking here, reasons to preach it. Reasons to preach it. "And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Preach it because the time is at hand. No one could be prepared for the end times unless they understand what is to come. No one would get saved if they did not have somebody tell them you're lost and need a Savior. No one would have a fear of an eternal place of a Gehenna hell, an eternal lake of fire and brimstone. No one would fear going to a place of hell if they don't know it exists. no one would have the peace about heaven and what heaven holds for us, as we just heard the testimony tonight, what a blessing it is. No matter how long we have our loved ones with them, even for 94 years, we never want to see them go. But when they are gone, there's no greater comfort that we can receive than to know that they're in a place of glory and I will join them one day. Yes. Praise the Lord for that. No one would get excited about heaven. No one would prepare for heaven if you didn't know that heaven was real. So why should we preach the entire revelation, the entire scriptures from Genesis, the revelation, the full counsel of God? Because no one could be prepared for the end times unless they understand what is to come. And we're closer than anyone has ever been to the rapture, which will begin the end of times. The end of the world will begin with the rapture. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul understood that. Every pastor, every New Testament servant of God understood that it was time. We had the full revelation of God, and we need to preach the full counsel of God. Don't leave any of it out. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. We're going to see that a little bit later. That's part of God's final words to man. But 2 Timothy, first of all, the reason to preach it is no one can be prepared unless they have this understanding. Timothy presents this concerning the end times. This know also, Paul writing to young Timothy, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good or those that stand for Christianity, Christlikeness. There's none better. There's none good but God, and Jesus was God. Christianity. Having a form of godliness. Traitors, let me go back to verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. When it comes to pleasures, the world's entertainment, or serving the Lord. what's going to take place in the end days? The entertainment of this world will win over the majority of the population of this world. Pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, religion everywhere. There's Antichrist will be a religion. There will be a one world religious system in after the rapture of the church. In the tribulation period, there'll be a one world government and there'll be a one world religion. But it will not be Christ. Because the true church at that time will be raptured up. Amen? And so he says here, having a form of godliness, which we are seeing much of today, there's a lot of people who want to claim to be godly, who want to claim to be Christian even, and yet they have no idea what Christ stood for. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. I've heard many preachers preach on that, as that's the soap operas of the day and all the TV. that captivate anyone staying home. It's not women today. It's men who stay home, and they are just as much into all this, and it's just captivating their thoughts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Because they're not hearing the truth preached. They're not reading their Bibles. Drop down to verse 14. But continue thou, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's a reason to preach it. Outside of preaching it, no one could be prepared for the end times. The second thing was to look back into the book of Revelation here, as was given to us. He tells John, he says, don't seal it. If don't seal it, he wants you to preach it. It's because it's for this day. The time is at hand. The second thing is found in verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. The reason to preach the word of God is because it will help the unjust and filthy to change before it's too late. See, John the Baptist came and he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When John passed off the scene and was in prison, we find right after he was in prison, we find that Jesus himself started the very same thing. As he started his public ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those that are unrighteous and those that are filthy, those that are living a life of sin, if they're not hearing the word of God preached, how are they going to ever be convicted of their sin? If they're never convicted of their sin, you cannot repent unless you have a conviction of changing your life. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. If you're not under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you will not be unless you're under the preaching of the Word of God, if you're not under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and if you're not having the truth revealed to you, then you will not come to that place of genuine repentance. And when Christ returns, it's going to be too late to repent at that time, because he says, I come quickly. That means it's going to be in the blink of an eye. And when he parts the clouds and he calls his church home, it is too late for you at that time to get saved and repent. If you've heard the word of God preached and you rejected the Holy Spirit's conviction on your life, it would be too late. But by preaching it, it will help the unjust and filthy to change before it's too late. Amen. If they don't hear it, let them be unjust still. Let them be filthy still. It will also help the righteous and the holy to remain separate unto God. Because of the righteous and the holy, as they get under the preaching of the Word of God, it's going to help them understand their convictions are real. God is real. My lifestyle is what God wants it to be. And if I am under the preaching of the Word of God, it just helps me to identify with Him and be drawn closer to Him. And when I hear the Word of God preached, I'm going to say, I'm going to stay righteous. I'm going to stay serving God. I'm going to continue to live as God wants me to live. What the Bible says. Help the righteous and the holy to remain. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If the righteous and the holy lose sight of his coming, they'll be blinded by this world, the flesh, and the devil. I believe there's a lot of saved individuals today that are just blinded to separation, blinded to holiness, blinded to what is truly righteous, what God deems righteous. Because they're not under the preaching of the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away." How do you know that? Because of the revelations of God. Amen. "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." When you hear that preached and you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, can I tell you that you will remain faithful? You'll remain separated unto God. So preach it, John, because it's the time. Christianity needs to hear it from the churches. It was given to the churches to preach the Word of God. Can't be prepared outside you hear it. You'll not come under conviction, therefore you'll not change, and you'll remain unjust and filthy. If you have been saved, unless you're under the preaching of the Word of God, you won't remain separated unto God. That's a good reason to preach it, amen? Amen. As we go back to the book of Revelation, who has given us this revelation? Well, it came from the Baptist denomination, right? No. This is coming from you, preacher, right? I'm preaching it, but it didn't come from me. I'm so glad that the Bible reveals who it is that told John to preach it. And what he was preaching was not John's revelation. But if you'll go back, we're going to go back to 21 in just a minute, but go back to the very beginning of the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Whose revelation is it? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1 very clearly reveals this. The Bible says in Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of John. It's not the revelation of the Baptist. It's not the revelation of a preacher. It's not the revelation of a denomination. It was the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So who is Jesus? Well, we ought to want to know who he is. And so the Bible declares, look what it says. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." If you works don't save you. You have to know Jesus. But once you know him, then the rewards will be based upon how you use opportunities that you have been given to serve him. "I am Alpha and Omega." Amen. That is the beginning of the Greek alphabet and the end of the Greek alphabet. Amen. That's what the Alpha and then Omega. The beginning of the Greek alphabet and the end. And then he says, the beginning and the end. The first and the last. "Blessed are they that do his commandments." It's coming from Jesus, and it's his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of into the city. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." He comes back in verse 16 and he says, "I, Jesus," wants us to know where it's coming from. Wants us to know who it is that gave these commandments, who it is that gave us full revelation. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." That's this present day. This is the church age. "And the root and the offspring of David." He pulls in the Old Testament. "And the bright and morning star." Amen. If we understand that, the true church will remain loyal to Christ, His doctrine, His teachings, His commandments. In closing, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. As Paul is writing here and he gives all the Old Testament, all the examples of the Old Testament, now the Old Testament has completed what they were here to do. And we find that the New Testament is ushered in through Christ, beginning with John the Baptist. We've been studying that Wednesday nights. But Paul writes this, beginning in verse 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, everyone that's ever lived to serve God, every Old Testament saint that did their part in bringing to us the words of God, everyone, I believe, that has passed on, even during this church age, that passed on, that was saved in Christ, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord, I believe all of those are right now making up this so great a cloud of witnesses. A witness is someone who has an eye account on what took place. They all can see what's going on now. They're witnesses. I believe that. I believe it's a heavenly grandstand of those that have served Christ during their time and have completed all their course. They've run their race, and now they're in heaven tonight, right now, cheering on the church age and cheering on those that are still here and have a job to do. I believe my mom and dad are in heaven today cheering me on. I believe all my brothers and sisters, the ones that have passed on into glory, are in heaven right now in this great cloud of witness cheering me on. I believe every church member over the last 30 years that have passed on out of this life onto glory, every one of those church members, amen, are in that great cloud of witnesses and cheering on the Lighthouse Baptist Church to continue to preach the word, to continue to stand for Christ, continue to reach the lost, continue to do what God would have us here to do until Christ calls His church home. That's what he's saying right there. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us. How do we do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as what he has revealed in the book of Revelation in verse 16, especially given us to that, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in your own mind. John, don't seal it, because it's time for them, the whole world, to hear it preached. Preach it throughout the entire church age. And by the way, make sure that they know where it's coming from, who it is that is given the command. Not this preacher, not this church, but Christ. And as a preacher and as a church, we're just here to represent Him. Amen? The time is at hand. Don't seal it. Preach it. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Great last words. The beginning of the last words of God to man. Don't seal it. It's for this dispensation of time. All of it. The full revelation of God. Don't stop short. Humanity needs to hear it all. The church needs to hear it all. I need to hear it all as often as possible. What about you? Are you living it? Are you looking to help others to understand it? Are you running the race that God has given you to run? Let's continue to do it. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the teachings of this book of Revelation, especially as we're looking to the end of this book and looking at these final words. And God, what a blessing it is to know that it's for us. And until we hear that trumpet sound, until our eyes close in death, help each and every one of us to remain faithful to your call upon our lives. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.